Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities. And today we have a really good show for you guys today. I'm talking about a really good show. We have this gentleman. He's the founder of the Program Council of Elders Program. And his name is Mr. Jansen Brooks. And this guy here, he's God sent. Okay, but before I go farther with anything, I would like for Mr. Jansen Brooks to come on and tell the audience a little bit about himself. And, you know, a little bit about himself. And then we're going to pass it after Mr. Jansen do that. Well, then we're going to pass it to Mr. Walter Williams. He's also on the panel. Mr. Jansen, go ahead, sir.
Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Jansen Brooks, and I'm a small-town brother from Aliceville, Alabama. Grew up and raised in Aliceville, Alabama. I'm 66 years old, and like the guy says on the television commercial, I know a few things because I've seen a few things, and that's really what the Council of Elders is all about. About a week ago today, I was talking to John Brown, and at the end of our conversation, I mentioned to him an idea that I had in my head, and John Brown immediately said, let's do it. So you have to be careful what you wish for, you know? I do thank you, John, for allowing me this platform. Who knows the people that this may help. But before I go on, I would like to talk about the purpose of the Council of Elders. Now, we know that elders, we're talking about older people, you know. You could say, well, my eldest son or my eldest daughter or my eldest cousin, my oldest, you know. And so these are people that has been around for a while, and they have some experience in life. They've been up, they've been down, they've been all around, and they have overcome some of the pitfalls of life. You don't get to be 60, 65 years old without having some trouble and some ups and downs in your life. So the word council, the definition of that, the council is an assembly of persons summoned or convened for consultation, deliberation, or advice. So the concept of the Council of Elders then would be older people in the community that if younger people have problems, issues, maybe problems on the job, problem at school, problems in the home, problems in the community, they could go to the elders and just simply ask them what their opinions was of what they should do. And the elders would collaborate and say, you know what, this is what we think that you should do. You don't have to do it, but this is our opinion. And come back and let us know how it worked out. So historically, the concept is based on African culture where elders in the community had council members to help guide tribe members, settle disputes, etc. And as far as the audience, I would like a mixture of young people to call in, and just if you feel comfortable asking on the broadcast, if you have some questions, issues, then feel free to do so. Older people, you know, we have our issues too. Sometimes we need some collaboration and talk to somebody and ask us for some help because we have a whole assortment of issues that's different than the young people. But initially, it was for my initial vision was for younger people. You know, when you are younger, it's nice to be able to call mama or daddy for some help or for some advice, because you know that they're going to give you the advice in love. They're not going to try to steer you the wrong way. They're not going to try to use you and take your money and so forth. And so that's the whole idea about the Council of Elders, to be able to give people some advice, consultation, and love, to try to steer them, get them on the right path so that they won't necessarily make some of the same mistakes we made, or some of the things that we did right, we can tell them which way to go. So with that, I'm going to say that if anybody in that's listening, if you have questions and so forth, you can ask, or if you just want to listen, you can ask. But this is something that hopefully will catch on and we can continue to do, so that in time that you can tell your friends that to call in, and they just want to listen, that's good. If they want to chime in, that's good too. So with that,
okay.
I'll
all right. I wanted to, you know, intervene on that. If you want to ask a question, or if you just want to participate in the on the show, well, you have to press 1. Okay, press 1, and I will let you in. Okay, and Mr. Jensen, thanks a lot. Okay, I really appreciate that. You know, thank you so much. You know, and okay, now I want to go to Mr. Walter Williams. Mr. Walter Williams, he's part of the panel, and he's from, where you from, you say, Alabama?
Yes, I'm from Alabama.
Okay, tell the audience a little bit about yourself, Mr. Williams.
Good morning, all. My name is Walter Williams, Jr. I am currently in Alabaster, Alabama. Like Mr. Brooks, we both come from a small town, Aliceville, Alabama. We grew up together. We even went to a high school together. Been friends a long time. So he pitched this idea to me this morning. I said, that's a great concept. And most definitely, I feel honored to participate. You know, I have a little experience. I have a 38-year career that God has blessed me to be semi-retired. As John told me this morning, we never retire. But I've been retired now since 2016 from my career in law enforcement, safety, and security. So I have a few ideas, and I've lived a little bit and have come through a few conflicts. And so I think that I might have a few things that I could share.
All right. Okay. All right. You know, Mr. Jensen, Mr. Jensen Brooks.
Yes, sir.
Now, okay. What do you think the most important thing in the community right now that we got to work on? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, right now we're in the midst of a pandemic. And if you listen to the news, they'll say, well, the people that it strikes most is the people with underlying health conditions already, like high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, heart trouble. And so knowing this, one of the things that's important is, as an individual, what can I do to avoid some of these underlying conditions in the first place? Because this is kind of bringing out a sort of matter that, you know, we should be looking at in the first place. So I know in my situation, I done had colon cancer. Oh, you know, they had surgery for that. Had diabetes, and then lymphoma. Now with the with the diabetes, what I did was I stopped eating sugar. I just like sweets, and sodas, pies, cookies, cakes, and all that. I stopped eating sugar because with type 2 diabetes, it's lifestyle diabetes, sugar intake is the biggest cause of it. Now, type 1 diabetes is, you know, like under the age of 18, that's a different. But type 2 is, you know, what they call lifestyle diabetes. And so to discontinue the use of added sugar and some call high fructose corn syrup and wheat, that's another thing that I learned, that the wheat that we have today turns into sugar once it gets into your body. And then like a slice of bread is just as bad as a Snicker bar. You know, I know that sounds hard to believe, but that scientific evidence. There's a book called Wheat Belly that if you're interested, you could read it. Health, you know, that's your wealth. So that's one thing that is kind of heavy on everybody's mind right now. How can we avoid some of these underlying conditions?
That's right. You know, I'm so glad, you know, that you touched on that at this the coronavirus issue, because that it's a big problem in our African American communities. Big problems. Just the other day, I think it was a couple of Saturdays ago, I was out passing masks out, you know, to people that didn't have them or couldn't afford them or whatever. And it's so many of our African American youth, they, you know, they still out there. You know, they're not wearing their mask. They're not following social distances. And I'm not trying to get down on the African Americans, because I'm black too. Okay, I'm African American myself. You know, but at the same time, we got to take care of ourselves. And like Mr. Brooks was saying, you know, you got elderly people. I'm an elderly person too, and I didn't, you know, then ran across some health issues that, you know, was life-threatening, okay? And, you know, like I'm vulnerable. I'm very vulnerable too, you know? And so if anybody on the panel want to, you know, talk about that, you know, give us some suggestions or talk about it, you know, let's talk about it, man. Let's get the word out. Let's do something about it. Now, I got a gentleman, you know, he's press one, so I guess he want to go ahead on and get on the panel, too. So I'm going to let him on, okay?
Okay.
All right, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Mary Jenkins. I'm calling from Lexington, Louisiana.
Oh, okay. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. I'm fine. I'm fine this morning, Mr. Brown. I was hearing you talking about the epidemic that's going on right now, and what I have think is very important that everyone should realize it's a matter of having a need to establish the control so they can, you know, and control of what's going on. And what it is, a lot of times, this need to determine whether you maintain control and hold power sometimes, and people feel that they're trying to tell them what to do. But at this time, this, the need for the control for the temperate ranges for maintaining some control over everyone's behavior or manage control to maybe one person's behavior. Because I'm not just speaking about the African-American, because I am also, but the thing is we need to learn how to behave according to the situation, and then everyone could take control if they concerned about another person. And what the thing is that was so bad is I'm thinking most of us is a decision that we have to make of they tell us by government, but it's a decision that we should make on ourselves. But a lot of times people don't want to do that because they're feeling that people trying to use their authority or their power, or they try to be dominant over you. And other people try to tell you that, you know, or maybe you need to consider that you have an older parent there. And then if you be an example by you doing it yourself, then a lot of people will be influenced by that, but some people don't do that. But when they have a ruler or some superior officer like then the president, any kind of leader, and they say they don't like them, like they might say, well, I don't care about this president. And so because of them not caring about that president, they come with an attitude of rebellion and resistance, and because they don't want to follow what that person said. So they're not going to be submissive until what they say, not knowing that even though someone is not who you like and don't like, you have to differentiate what's really going on in the world today. And it's for your wisdom. So I maybe have to take two factors and then I'm going to let you go. But the first thing, the need for control, is so we can maintain and we can establish a satisfaction relationship with people to respect and control and power. That's one thing. And that could be not just necessarily the top authorities or the governor and the president, or even your mother, and that's really getting down to home. There are children in families, teenagers, whoever, and mom and dad from home, and they're tired and they're frustrated from staying in the house. Mom said, well, you know, we have to be careful because you go out there, you come back, bring here. Or rebellious kids feel that they can do everything. They're subject and they hear that just older people passing, so they don't pay no mind. But anyway, it's just the need to be out for temperament to be measured by one, to do the right thing. But sometimes no one wants to be controlled in their behavior or want everyone to take control over their behavior, what they should do and not do. And it's just bad. So I'm not talking all the way on that, but it's, I could go on and on, but I'll give somebody else something to say. But that's the main thing. We need to get control of ourselves and our mind abilities and our thoughts and emotions, and that's the problem. Okay?
Okay. All right. I really appreciate that, Mary, for you calling in. You know, stay on the line. You know, you go stay on the line, and if you got something else to say or if somebody you want to elaborate on something somebody say, you know, like, you know, you know, press one again, and then I'll let you in, and you'll be able to do it. Okay. Now, Mr. Walter, you got anything to say about that?
Yes. One of the biggest problems, and both of our panelists have already touched on it, and I'll just say briefly too that one of the things is under that authority. Being on the authority is also respect. Authority is a part of life. You didn't birth yourself into the world. Therefore, we were all had parents and we had to grow up under someone's authority, and they tried to teach us the right way to go, to respect authority. We've gotten to the place now where we as a society, we rebel because we feel that that's our constitutional right. Yes, it is, however. But to rebel just for the sake of rebelling doesn't get anything. We have a pandemic, a worldwide crisis. It's worldwide. It's global. And from my standpoint is that we are all in this thing together. Therefore, we see that it's taking lives. It's disproportionately in our country taking the lives of people of color. Those are the facts. Underlying issues are poor health, as Jan said before. Poor health. We have a history of not going to doctors or not having the type of employment where we have health insurance and that we go to the doctor or we are suspect of doctors because of past history. But nevertheless, you can't go to the internet and diagnose your own self. You need a trained physician, so you need to go to doctors. And what good is having medicine if you don't take it? So if the doctor diagnose you with a condition and then give you a prescription, that prescription is for you to take in order to eliminate the illness or to mediate the illness. Therefore, same thing with this pandemic. what the nation, our national leaders, is trying to tell us, this thing has gone throughout the United States. They don't know where it comes from. There's still an argument about where it comes from. They don't know how to treat it. There's no standardized treatment. And there is no vaccine. So we're fighting an invisible enemy. Therefore, we have to take, quote, unquote, common sense approaches. And I do know that common sense ain't common to everybody. What's common to you and me might not be common to the next person. But let's just, for the sake of this show, say that everybody should have common sense. That if they tell you, since we don't know where this virus come from, how it's spread it, right now they've isolated it down to it come from droplets, breathing, getting close enough to breathe or sneeze droplets that we inhale into our body. We know that this virus attacks primarily respiratory problems. Unfortunately, my father lives with me, and his last brother succumbed to the coronavirus in Brooklyn, New York, on yesterday because he had some underlying health issues. He had pneumonia, and then the pneumonia started to come down with kidney failure and all of this and all that. But the virus itself exasperated everything, so it cost him his life. He's gone home to be with the father. These things, you might know people.
Sorry to hear that.
You might have family members, or you know people who have succumbed to this virus. And we have to take some common sense approaches. There's nothing wrong with staying 6 feet, since we don't know yet. They are working, scientists are working to try to find out more about this virus. But right now, we have to do the little things. The 6 foot distancing, that's not an issue. Why is that a big problem with everybody? Covering your mouth and face while you're going out into public right now. You know, life as we know it no longer exists. We have to constantly adjust, overcome, and adapt. That's just life from birth up until where we are now. We've had to adjust, overcome, and adapt. Back to you, Brother Brown.
Wow. Man, I am so sorry, you know, that you have a family member going through that. You know, I am so sorry about that, you know. And Mr. Jensen, what else you got good on the Council of Elders program?
Well, I would just like to know, is there anyone in the listening audience? I know this is our first day, and we I don't know just how many people are listening, but is anybody that is listening today that have maybe a question that you would like to bounce off of us? We may be able to, we're not, you know, trained doctors or lawyers and stuff, but we are older people, and we have gone through some things that you may not be going through. So if anybody is on the line that has a question, you know, feel free to chime in, or if you have, you know, have some comments to chime in. Another thing that's on my mind, you know, a lot of, tell you the truth, a lot of elder people is scared to talk to these young folks sometimes, you know, because you never know where they're coming from. And so I guess one thing would be how can we approach a younger person that maybe we don't know, that we can clearly see they're on the wrong track of how to maybe talk some sense into them, if I can use
right. Yeah. Okay. You know, we got two people on the line. I don't know if they wanted to ask a question or elaborate on something. You want to let them in?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I know you wanted them to come in, and I just want to let the audience know, okay, before we let the people know that you're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and we gave the Council of Elders program, and the founder is Mr. Jensen Brooks. He's using the platform to inform people of some really good things. I mean, hey, this man right here is God sent. And also, I'm going to be doing a little bit of advertising right after this, so y'all just bear with us, and we trying to get this thing. But I'm fixing to let someone in. Okay, caller, state your name and where you calling from.
Joseph Manuel, Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Hey, Joseph Manuel, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. I'm sorry I'm late. I ran out for Lucy's and picked up somebody.
All right.
I'm sorry I missed the show. I missed everything. I'm kind of coming in dumbfounded, but this is something that I always wish to do is as an elder or older, is try to get some kind of organization started to reach our young, because there's a lot of them out there that's looking for our help, have no other help to get with pre-oppression and negativity. And, you know, this was something I wish that the churches would get involved in to allow a facility to meet in, at least, because other than that, it can be expensive and costly, you know. And, you know, that's the old saying, you have to crawl before you walk. And the reason why I'm so much into that, because I had opportunity one time in my life to work at a job corps center and to work at a juvenile detention center, where I went inside the cells and sit down with these young men and talk, and they appreciated that, man. But yet when they got out, they went into an environment with a lot of negative, same negativity, and had nowhere to go, nobody to talk to, you know.
Right.
And, that is highly needed. I missed the beginning of it. I wish I could have got this gentleman information. I don't know if he have a website and some ideas or something.
Who is that?
All right. Well, sir, if I could chime in, this is something that's been on my mind for a long time, and but I didn't do nothing about it, you know, just in my head. The purpose, I'll just give you a little bit of introduction, which what you're thinking about is exactly the vision that I had. But the purpose is for older people, elders, to give advice, counsel, and life experience to younger people. Advice that can help them navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. The concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to help guide tribe members, settle disputes, etc. And so what you were saying was my original vision of actually having some live people, you know, kind of like a, I ain't going to say like a court or something, like, you know, like a situation where, okay, on Thursday night, I got a problem, I'm going to go talk to the council of elders and see what they got to say. Let's see if they can give me some guidance. But when I mentioned it to John, he said, well, why don't we, you know, take it to another level, and then maybe this would be something that people could start in their own community. So I'm glad that you came. What's your name again, sir? From Louisiana?
Joseph?
Yeah, Joseph.
Manuel, huh?
So what you were thinking is exactly what I was thinking, that we need some kind of platform so that young people can come and get some help, you know, besides the parole officer.
Now, who am I speaking to?
Oh, yeah, my name is Jensen Brooks. And I was telling John Brown about this idea about the Council of Elders.
Mr. Brooks, explain to him that you're the founder of the Council Elders program. Joseph.
I'm the founder of the program, and it was a thing in my mind, just like you was talking, Joseph, that a format,
and I'm on the phone.
So that, that people could be able to go to some older people who had gone through some things. You know the commercial. We know a few things because we've seen a few things.
Yes, a lot of things.
So,
where are you located?
Yeah, I'm in Sacramento, California.
Okay.
Sacramento, California. Is where I'm located, and through the auspices of this technology that John Brown told me about, we can talk to people anywhere in the world, as long as they got a telephone.
Yeah.
But this is the first actual broadcast of it, so that we hope that we can continue it and build on it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for panel members that can come on a regular basis, because at some point we're going to have people to call in with actual questions or issues that we might be dealing with, and it's nice to have people that have a wide variety of experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're welcome to join us next time as well.
Okay. Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, well, right now I'm going to go ahead and do a little shout-out. I want to do a shout-out to Uplifting Communities television talk show, the staff for that. Also, I want to do a shout out to Miss Sister Sutra. And Sister Sutra, she's blessing the community and helping fight the coronavirus by providing masks for her community and communities throughout the United States. She's a blessing from God, and I just want you guys, if y'all need masks or anything, you can always contact her through their call, the Dope Aura Store, and I'm going to give you her website. It's www.etsy.com/shop/ the Dope Aura Store. Okay, she makes masks, and she's helping the community with the masks. They do charge a little bit, and if you're out of town, she'll send it to you wherever you at throughout the United States. So I just wanted to let you guys know, help this sister out, you know? I mean, you know, order your masks from her. I'm serious. And she's really trying to help fight this coronavirus. She really is, okay? It's Sister Sutra. Sister Sutra. That's SISTASUTRA. And you can find her on Instagram. Okay? And go to Instagram, type in Sister Sutra, SISTASUTRA. And, you know, you can order your mask from her. Plus, she, you know, I mean, y'all can communicate, and she's a really, really good soul. Okay? Just wanted to bring that out. All right. Go ahead on.
All right,
thank you,
John.
Brooks.
Chance, if you don't mind, I would like to interject just to let you let Joe know. My name is Walter Williams Jr. and I'm from Alabaster, Alabama. And this concept that Jansen came up with, I did something similar years ago when I used to work at a local college. And it was for the college males, called the acronym MOMS, M-O-M-S, which was Men on Men Symposium. And that the purpose of that symposium was to have a group of gentlemen, like a group of gentlemen who had achieved a level of success, not necessarily measuring success by money, but being at the top of their game or at the top of their professions, to be available to talk to young men, and likewise, and to be able to help them navigate whatever problems that they came through. And so on a larger scale and a more mature scale, I see Jansen's program for the Council of Men to be likewise, and I'm just happy that he brought it to my attention this morning.
Well,
Alpha.
Go ahead. I believe somebody will go and say something.
No, I wasn't meeting somebody else about to say something.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. Well, actually, the Council of Elders, I am looking for some female input as well because, you know, these moms, they have some good advice too now, you know. So
amen.
Any female listeners that would like to come on a regular basis and help out, that would be great too.
Right.
Yeah, that
okay,
could be good.
I have another caller. Let me let this caller right here in. And I got two callers waiting in line, okay, to come in. So let me let this one here in. All right. Okay, caller, stating your name and where you calling from.
Tommy Cole, Lake Charles, Louisiana.
All right.
Hello, Tommy.
Hello. Hey, what's going on? How's everybody? Hello, Mr. Brooks, Mr. Brown, Mr. Williams, Mr. Manuels, and Mrs. Jenkins. How's everybody?
Everybody
okay,
doing
wonderful,
fine.
Good.
Look, Mrs. Jenkins and Mr. Williams made some great points earlier, and I just want to touch up on it because Mrs. Jenkins spoke about obeying the authorities, and Mr. Williams spoke about the global effect that coronavirus has, you know, and man, this pandemic is dangerous, you know. It's like a body snatcher, you know. It's taking lives, you know, and so when we don't follow those directions or the instructions of the authority, you know, we cause ourselves to fall over, and like you said earlier, you know, we like to rebel against many things, you know, but when we rebel, there are consequences. And man,
exactly.
And now they're to the point to where they're devastated. Now, I grew up in the 60s,
amen,
guys, and man, I remember the elder gentlemen in the neighborhood and in the community, because when I say community, I would go very far out. But as far as I went out, people knew my parents. You know, if I caused trouble over there, by the time I got home, you know, my parents corrected me again.
Amen.
And I think as Mr. Brooks says, and that's that authority that we need. You know, those elders been through so many things. You know, hey, they can come in and they can tell us about things before they happen. You know, or before we cross that line, if we listen to them. And it would save us a lot of trouble. And those organizations that Mr. Manion spoke about too, and I think all the churches need to come together and work together, and knowing that people are relying upon them to set programs in position to help everybody in the community, and not just the folk that attend that particular congregation or whatsoever, you know, because, hey, man, I mean, and on top of all that, gentlemen and sister, you know, we kind of walked away from God. You know, our children, our grandchildren, you see, they're all out there now. God is the last thing on their minds. And so, and when that happens, you're subject to fall into many snares. And those snares are taken out. But the point is, how do we get these councilmen, I mean these wise men, back in those positions to where we can bring our children back to them, that they may miss a lot of the troubles that the world have? That, you know, that would be my question. Y'all got great points. And Mr. Brooks, man, you got a great idea. It's just getting it in the communities and having all the parents make sure their children are coming to these council meetings and all these things on a regular basis, you know, that we can clear up some of this stuff, man. This is a disaster right there, man.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree with you 100%, Mr. Cole. It's a big disaster out there. you know, and you know, and I think that the churches should open up their doors for more meetings and stuff, community meetings, and the parents should, you know, make sure that their kids go, you know, start taking their kids to these community meetings, you know, the smaller
kids, because don't
when
leave
once they
like,
get,
take them, be there with them. Now saying yeah. And the parents need to be there with, and the parents need to be there with their children. Don't leave them.
That's right.
Well,
that's
you know
right.
One thing I've experienced and I've noticed that, man, is that you know, if you want to get something like that started and reach our young people, there's a difference between a man and a male.
That's right.
Now you can be a male and have a lot of defects of character, but if you're a man. And a sincere man, you know, these youngsters will listen, man. They're looking for that. You can't come half-stepping. You can't come jiving and conniving and trying to look for the ladies and clowning and joking. You have to be serious.
That's right.
About this. And I think that's one
that's
of
right.
the biggest problems, man, that you either have to be a man or get out of the way. You know, so
that's
you have
right.
to be careful who you select and allow to be a part of your organization because they can destroy
that's
you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, they definitely.
And even some of the females. I mean, you can be a female, you can be a woman. That's a difference, you know. So
that's
very difference. Important, man. And it's also tough. It's also very tough to get a group
okay.
of people like that, you know.
Okay, we got that's another caller that want to come in. Let's let them in.
Hello.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
I'm Mary Jenkins from Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Okay.
Hello, Mary. I'm good.
Hey, how you doing, Ms. Cole? Yeah, I'm enjoying everything this morning. Yeah. Look, I was saying, you know, I'm a Christian counselor, you know, by education. But still, I want to say that, you know, as a Christian counselor, how you must meet the people, you know, of the world, not in dealing with stress, not just dealing with stress and pressure. But like Cole said, we got to keep their lives spiritually strong and morally strong. That's pretty much what he was saying, because we must be able to help them, you know, find peace in their circumstances. And this sometimes is a challenge that the Christian community they've never faced before to such magnitude that you know, that's going on now, but we must rise to the challenge. We have to do
Amen.
That. I mean, this thing that has happened before time, we weren't there to know about it, but anybody have read and know anything biblically, they know that it had really, really bad times, even worse than what we see it now. But the thing is, as Christians, I think that's the sole thing of being able to be obedient and to listen, and to keep your minds open to learn. And because that goes from the young ones and even what Mr. Brooks talking about the elderly people, because I go into ministry to the elder people, too, in nursing homes, and it's not just the ones in nursing homes, but you find out, I'm just going to elaborate just a little bit, the ones in the nursing homes. And it's so sad, but you find out everybody in the nursing home don't necessarily have to be there, but because of their families, sometimes they don't have time for them, and they never did have nobody. And they in there, they're wounded, they're hurt from past things that's happened in their lives. And many of them have been in situations just all like the younger generation, like what's happening today. They have sexual sin, they divorces, violence, abuse, drug, all kinds of things, you know. I've seen a girl that once before, she was about to commit suicide, but I didn't know it. But I was impelled to just minister to her and talk to her. And a lot of times I'm not just trying to throw stuff up on people to make them feel like they're unworthy or you're greater than them. That's not the thing for no one to do. It's to be at their level so they can understand where you're coming from and let them know. And I feel that if you, God will give you those things and words to say for each situation because it's different. But she was going to commit suicide, and I had talked to her and everything, whatever, and I didn't know that at the present time. And after a while back, after God had done things for her, she came back and told me, she said, if you wouldn't have talked to me that day, she said, I was going to commit suicide that day. So it's needed for people to go out to for the young. And I commend you, Jason Brooks, for thinking about the elderly, because sometimes people just forget about them. And they really need, even if it's just a conversation, to let them know that they still worth being a being, because they get older and they feel like they're worthless. But the way you can carry, I have a suggestion with that, well, in a sense, yeah. And I'm sure maybe you thought about it, but maybe you haven't, about something that's very precious. Just talking to a person, older person, like you said, they know so much. They're experienced. They're well seasoned. So when you talk to them, a lot of things they could tell you, and I'm sure they could tell me and tell others, things that can help us, to help even our families this present day. And for just someone to take the time to sit and talk with them or see their needs or whatever, and to let them know that someone is there to help them, could take a person from a low status to up status and give them the want to live, the want to thrive, the want to survive, even though they're in the nursing home. And you could take those same people in the nursing home or wherever they are. They could be someone that become a light to help someone else that's there and build them up and say, you know what, I was this way, but look, this Jason talked to me, or one of his, whoever, and you know what, I feel better about myself. Now look at this, Jason. I'm going to tell you, like everyone on the panel, think about this. This is coming to me. Okay, sometimes people say they put away like in a nursing home and they feel like really bad. But I told somebody, I told them one time, I said, you know what, look at you being here like this when I was all together in the group. I say, don't just look at it like you just put away for a nursing home. Look at it as this is your time to be pampered. You don't have to do your own laundry. You have no one. People come and change your bed. You get meals 3 times a day catered to you. You get snacks 3 times, whatever you want or whatever. You have everything. You get your hair done. You do everything. This is the time that you are being catered to. Just look at it. This is your rest time. And you know what? That made a lot of difference to a lot of people in there. They begin to look at being closed up, away from family sometimes, in a nursing home as being, well, you know what? I'm in a nice place. I'm getting this done and that done. And, you know, I don't have to worry about this. So I just commend you. I think it's a great idea.
All right.
That's a great
All
idea.
Right.
Well,
thank you.
Sister, you touched on something, if I could say, interject here. I had a young man about 22 years old live right across the street from me, committed suicide last year. And, I mean, when you said that, it made me think about it. When you told the lady that if she hadn't talked to you, that she was going to commit suicide. You know, that's a real thing with these young people.
Yeah, she was going to kill herself. She really was going to kill herself. Yeah.
Right. Okay. We got 11 minutes left on the show. And what I want to do now is go down to my panel one by one to give you if you have anything positive to tell the world today, what would it be? And I want to start with Mr. Walter Williams.
What I would tell the world is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Whether you believe it or not, God is real. Whether you believe it or not, he loves you, and his love has been manifested through his son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life that we all could be forgiven for our sins, because our sins put us at odds with God, separated us from God, which is our creator. So God has set us down now. He's got our attention. And as Ms. Jenkins said, it's time for those of us who are believers to stand up, the church, to stand up and to our brothers and sisters' need. Because wherever Jesus went, he met the need. Whatever it was, he met it. We can too, but we have a tendency to think about money all the time. Sometimes it's not about money. If you let the Holy Spirit within you work his thing, he'll tell you what your brothers and sisters need as you approach them. Thank you.
Amen. I mean, that's powerful. Okay, what about you, Miss Mary? Anything positive you want to say to the community? This is the time to say it.
Yeah. I would tell the community to seek God like never before. And don't think that they've done so much that God don't hear and that they're just coming to him because they need him. But that's the reason why we come to God. And you know what? The Bible in Psalm 91 says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And he said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. I'm telling you, to the audience, everybody who's listening, the sound of my voice, tell the Lord, make him your refuge, and he gonna help you. You know, you don't have to do it alone. And I mean, he'll help you, you know, and trust in him. And he say, if you trust him, he say he surely will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the north and pestilence. Pestilence going on. And God say he will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt thrust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. He say thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, which is have people dying every day. And he said, 10,000 at thy right hand. He said, but it shall not come nigh thee. Put your eyes upon the Lord. Trust God. Trust God. And you know what God said? He said, because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. He said, thou shalt no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come now thou dwelling. He said, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So that's all I'm going to say. Just read Psalms 91. I hope it encourages.
All right. Okay. Love it. Just love it. Okay. Mr. Tommy Cole.
Yes. Hey, I'm in agreement with Mrs. Jenkins and Mr. Williams. You know, we have to first see God and his righteousness. You know, if we do that and we're able to follow God's order, you know, every other authority will be simple to follow, you know. So
amen.
I would encourage everybody to, you know, find God, man, and obey him, man, and everything else is smooth. He'll work it out for us.
All right. Okay, Mr. Jensen Brooks, I know you're the founder of the Council of Elders program, but since I'm hosting this for you, you know, you can go ahead on and say what you pass something positive to the community. And I want to go back to Ms. Jenkins. After you talk, Mr. Brooks, I want to go back to Ms. Jenkins and ask Ms. Jenkins if she would close us out with a prayer. Would you do that, Ms. Jenkins?
Oh, Lord, I'd love to do it. Love to do it.
Okay, well, go ahead, Mr. Brooks. Go ahead on. You got the show.
John L. Brown, I want to thank you for making this happen today. You're a God-sent man, and I want to thank everybody that joined in today. And at this point, you have been introduced to a concept that has been lost in our community. You know, this used to be, I mean, even before we got to America, you know, our ancestors had councils of elders. That's where it got started. They had...
Amen.
Situation set up to where if a person, young or old, had a problem, they could go and ask some elders who had been there and done that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They knew some things because they seen some things, and they had experience, life experience. And a lot of times they could help younger people avoid some of the pitfalls that they would fall into. So everybody that's listening is in a particular community, and let's make this happen, you know. We talked about talking to some of the churches. We talked about, you know, that we need this in the community, you know, look into it in your own community and you know, talk to people about it and see if we can set up something like that. Because as far as I know, there are no council of elders that I know about. Maybe y'all know about some of them. And so the seed has been planted, and as far as sticking with God, I think that I can't really say anything that hasn't been said so eloquently already.
Right.
The Creator that caused it all, and Jesus Christ that put us in the loop. We wouldn't be in the loop without Jesus. So,
amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise and honor. So,
okay.
Just think. See if you can maybe talk to people in your community by having a council of elders. That's all. That's all I got to say right now. And also, stay tuned for more. You know, and hopefully we can make this thing grow even in the radio broadcast too.
Okay.
Okay,
Miss Mary, you got maybe a minute and a half, a minute 30 seconds to do a prayer, okay? So don't be all day. I'm just messing with you.
No. Yes, the Lord
you know,
give
you long-winded.
Simple.
You know,
the
you
Lord
know, you're long-winded.
Okay,
go
waste
ahead.
Some time, John. Let's pray. But, Father, I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God, for everyone that's in this panel today, God. I thank you, Lord, because it's people that have a heart and a desire, Lord God, to help people in the community, Lord God. Lord, I praise you, Lord God, and everything that you do, Lord God, you do it, Lord God, for your glory, God. It's not for our glory, but for the glory of you, Lord God, showing that you live, God. Lord, help us to acknowledge in all our ways, God, and all our doings, Lord God, so that we can say nothing but what you want us to say, that people can hear what the Spirit has to say to the people that we minister, even those that are abroad or listen now. I pray in Jesus' name that you seek God. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask that you bless Mr. Jason, Mr. Brown, all the whole panel, God, those who want to help people, God, make room for them. Open the door. You have a platform here, God. Lead us and guide us, God. In Jesus' name, I pray, ask you to restore and help the families that's here. God, cover their families with your blood. God, keep us all, Lord, in health and strength. Rebuke the devil and try to attack the people. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask that you go in peace, Lord God, that you bring them a safe trip home, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Lord, I would love to pray louder, but you give me temperance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Amen.
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 All right. You know, before I end this, I just wanted to remind you guys, you know, to please support this this sister. As you can find her on Instagram, that's Sister Sutra. That's SitaSutra. Okay, she's blessing the communities. She's God sent. She's fighting against this coronavirus by making masks for the communities throughout the United States and locally. Okay, and please get in contact with her if you for your mask need. And that's www.etsy.com/shop The dope aura store, the dope aura store. Okay, aura is like when you got aura. Okay, so God bless y'all. And against Mr. Jensen Brooks, the founder of Council of Elders Program, thank you so much. You are one blessed man. You are God sent. And thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
Thank you for everything. All right. With this said, I'm going to tell everybody, have a great day, okay? Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.
All right,
amen.
Guys. Look for the next announcement, everybody. And.